Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And Meghna, I noticed you and I are wearing the same wristband.
Yes, this snazzy little silicone number on our wrist. The Fitbit.
The Fitbit. And we both recently got them, if I'm not mistaken. You just recently got
yours
too, right?
We didn't get them together, though.
We did not get them together. They're part of this new wave of wearable devices that track your every step.
Okay, so Jeremy, how many steps have you done today?
I don't know, but I am sure that it is not enough. I'm probably very low at this point.
I actually just checked, and I have done 3,387, so I feel like I'm behind.
You probably are, because most people want to get to 10,000 by the end of the day. But we should say that, you know, these devices really took off in the last year. They monitor your exercise, your steps, your sleep, your diet, a lot of other aspects of your life.
And also, obviously, the Fitbit is not the only device out there. The market seems to be flooded with them. There's the Jawbone Up 24, the Body Media Fit Armband, the Zeo Sleep Coach Direct Life Acceleration Monitor, the Groove Movement Tracker. And they are all part of a technological wave known as personal informatics.
Personal informatics. Well, Gary Wolf co-founded a company called The Quantified Self, which helps people use personal data systems. He's with us from Berkeley, California. Gary, hi.
Hi.
So do you think that we're crazy for wearing these things and tracking our steps?
Well, that craziness is very widespread if you're crazy.
Well, tell me about that. How many people are using these devices?
That number is very hard to get because it's not clear in what devices would count, but I can tell you just running apps on mobile phones that tell you how far you're run, those top three apps report over 25 million downloads. So, and that's just one pretty small category. It doesn't even include the Fitbits that you're wearing. So I think you could safely say that there are at least tens of millions of people.
Wow. Well, Gary, so let's get down to why. I mean, I have to say, for me, I wanted to get more active and be more fit. And for some reason, rather than just saying, I'm going to go to the gym every day, I decided that wearing a $100 wristband was going to help me do that more. What is it about data in particular that seems to motivate millions of people?
Well, of course, I want to ask you why you did that, because that's the business I'm in, is trying to find out what these tools are good for and what's really going on. I'll tell you that one of the things I think that's happening is that data is a new medium of communication, of self-expression, of sharing some facts about yourself with other people. And it's a kind of mirror, and people love to look in the mirror. So that's my guess, but why don't you tell me what made you go in and put your credit card down?
Well, I have to say, I mean, maybe it has to come with being an engineer in a past life and working in a deadline-driven organization now, that I just thought if I could monitor my progress throughout the day, it would help me, like, reach a fixed goal rather than just saying, oh, I presume that going to the gym would be enough. Like, the incremental data would be more motivating.
And has it worked?
Yes. Let the pause speak for itself.
Well, I got mine as a gift, Gary, and I will say that on the first day I wanted to check out and see how many steps I was doing if I just went through my normal routine, and I was very upset about this, but I only got up to something like 56 or 5700 steps. And so then the next day I thought, well, I've got to get to 10,000, and I've ended up having to, on days where I'm really low at the end of the workday, I'll just go to the gym and run on the treadmill for 20, 30 minutes so that I can get up above where I feel like I need to be. It has helped me, although I've only had it for a week.
Well, this is one of the things I think is interesting about having data about ourselves. We know that there are goals that we have, and often we set those goals because we've read an article somewhere or somebody has encouraged us, and there's sort of a received wisdom about what we ought to be doing. It's very hard to be realistic about the difficulty of those goals. We know that they're hard because if they weren't hard, everybody would achieve them. In fact, very few of us achieve them. And one of the things the data is showing, I think, is that having a goal that's not realistic is just going to put you, you know, nose to the fact that you don't reach your goals. And maybe we ought to do some reflecting on our goals as well.
Yeah. And Gary, I wonder, there's always sort of a quantity versus quality tension when it comes to data and how we use it, right? Because, I mean, I could walk 10,000 or 12,000 steps a day and my little Fitbit would, you know, vibrate on my hand and hooray for me. But on the other hand, might it not just be better to do a completely different form of exercise? You know, I might get the emotional feedback feedback from the band, but it's not maybe not doing my body as much good.
I think that goes up a level in terms of our capacity to think and learn, and I think that's where we're headed with this data. First, there's the question of, can I reach my goal, and what are the factors that are keeping me from reaching my goal? Next is the question of, is that the right goal? And how do we know that that's the right goal? And can I look at some other data and do another process of evaluation where maybe I find out what activities, what kinds of things I have to learn will get me to the place that I want to be? That's what makes us human and not robots. If we were programmable, then we'd be programmed already.
Yeah, I have to say I'm a little disappointed that I don't get any points for push-ups or sit-ups or anything right. like that on this Fitbit. But Gary, what about privacy concerns? I was thinking that, you know, whatever company runs this thing now knows not just where I'm going, but literally every step that I'm taking in the day.
I think there are many data sets that are about you in the world that you have zero access to. So one thing you can say about these devices is at least you have access to the data that they're collecting about you. That said, I do think that the idea that all of our data should be collected and aggregated into some universal giant pile somewhere that anybody can look at is really pernicious and absurd. Your value from having that data is when it stays close to you. In many cases, there's really no need for that data to travel very far.
And Gary, there's a Pew Research Center study that's found that 46% of people using self-trackers say that doing so has changed their overall approach to maintaining their health, which is great. But I wonder, you know, briefly in the time that we have left, as there are more and more devices that can measure more and more things about us, might we end up being sort of swamped in data and lose sight of like the original purpose that we all got these devices for?
Well, I think the data itself is something that helps you connect and communicate to other people and to yourself. In a sense, the person that you keep the most secrets from is yourself, probably. And when you do that, you have a chance of deciding what the devices are for and not just adopting the goals that you're handed.
Gary Wolf, personal data expert, co-founder of the Quantified Self. Gary, thanks so much.
Thank you.